The epistle for the second Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Dearly beloved, do not wonder if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that does not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in himself. And this we have known, the charity of God, because he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that has the substance of this world and shall see his brother in need and shall shut up his bowels from him, how does the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the hour of the supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the feeble, and the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say to you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, we Catholics believe that at every Mass, our Lord Jesus Christ becomes present at the altar when the priest pronounces the words of consecration, the substance of bread and the substance of wine changes into the substance of our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is a mystery of our faith, which we profess. And because it's a mystery of our faith, we have a duty not just to profess it with our lips, but we also have a duty to try to understand it as best as possible. We must not only believe in the mysteries of our faith, we must also try to contemplate them. And today I just want to try to understand the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament more deeply, but not by looking directly at the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament. If you wanted to know something about the sun and you just tried to look directly at it, very quickly you would lose your eyesight and you wouldn't be able to learn much about the sun or really anything else, because the brilliance of the sun is too much for the limitations of our own eyes. But if you wanted to study about the sun, it's better to look at it indirectly. And this is similar to the mysteries of our faith. When we try to look at them directly, they're too luminous for our minds. And so it's better for us to use created things as a means to reflect back on the mysteries of the faith in order to understand them. It's kind of like looking at the moon. In order to understand the sun, you look at the moon and you get a sense of the brightness of the sun from looking at the moon. And today I wanted to consider Our Lady, who the liturgy calls, refers to as being beautiful like the moon. I want to look at Our Lady, consider Our Lady as a means for us to understand something about the Blessed Sacrament. Specifically, we need to understand the purpose and the power of the Blessed Sacrament. To do this, we have to consider our Lord living in Our Lady, Jesus living in Mary. If Our Lady was, and she indeed is, the first communicant ever, perhaps by looking at Our Lady and our Lord living in Our Lady, we may understand something of the nature of the Blessed Sacrament and also how we should receive the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lady was the first communicant. She was the first one to commune with God in the most intimate way possible on this earth by receiving God physically into her own body, having God incarnate inside of her. How was she able to do this? Well, we all know the story of the Annunciation. She was able to do it, first of all, primarily because of her submission to God, because of the dispositions of her soul, where she was able to say to the angel Gabriel and say truthfully that she was the servant of God and that she wanted God to do with her whatever he wished. It's very clear, it should be very clear to us from this example of the Annunciation, that if we want to receive God in us, we must be disposed. We must want him to come. Otherwise, it's not going to be fruitful. Our Lord cannot come to us, we all know, it's part of our catechism, if we are in the state of mortal sin. There's no communion possible between him and a soul in the state of mortal sin. You cannot be both with him and against him at the same time. It's a contradiction. And so a sacrilegious communion is not really a communion at all. In other words, there's no real union taking place between our Lord and that soul that's in the state of mortal sin. It's not a union of the soul with our Lord. It's rather a cutting off of a soul from our Lord. So this is the first lesson that the Annunciation to Our Lady teaches us about the Blessed Sacrament. Two sides. First of all, that our Lord wants to come to us. He makes this offer just as he made to Our Lady. And then secondly, that we must want him to come for us to be able to profit from his coming. That we must be disposed, that we must be submissive to his will, that we must try as far as possible to have this disposition of wanting him to do with us whatever he wants for us, for his coming to be fruitful for us. But Our Lady does not only teach us why our Lord comes and how to receive him, she also teaches us how to receive him perfectly. St. Louis de Montfort, in his book True Devotion to Mary, he was someone who often contemplated our Lord living in Mary. He makes a remark that I think helps me at least understand how to make the most perfect communions possible. At the very beginning of the book, he talks about the Blessed Trinity's relationship with Our Lady. He remarks that the Blessed Trinity dwells in Our Lady most perfectly, that the Blessed Trinity made this most perfect creature, and God wanted to reserve the knowledge and the possession of Our Lady to himself. And that when he comes to her, she is like the sealed garden that is spoken of in the Canticle of Canticles, the sealed garden where no one can have entrance except for the Holy Ghost. And he remarks that Our Lady is the sanctuary of the Blessed Trinity, that God dwells more magnificently, more divinely in Our Lady than he dwells anywhere else in reality, including in heaven amidst the cherubim and the seraphim. And this thought, I think, is so striking, this idea of God dwelling in creation. And if we look at the whole of creation, everything that exists, all creatures, and we say, where does God's kingdom come? Where is his will done the most, more than any place whatsoever? And the answer is, that place is the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is where God dwells the most magnificently, more even than he's dwelling in heaven itself. And this is the thought that has to be on our mind when we think of Jesus living in Mary, when we think of her communion with our Lord, that somehow this union that takes place between our Lord and Our Lady in Our Lady is more perfect than any other union that exists between the Creator and the creature. No greater union is achieved than that which exists between our Lord and Our Lady. And as I say, I think if we reflect upon this remark of St. Louis de Montfort, it teaches us something about our own communions. Because don't we think periodically, don't I think periodically, this question of like, well, the priest says Mass every single day, receive communion every single day. Hopefully you attend Mass every Sunday. Hopefully you attend Mass even a few times during the week and you receive Holy Communion. You're in the state of grace. You're able to receive Holy Communion every time that you go to Mass. And we ask ourselves the question, why am I not increasing by leaps and bounds in my union with our Lord? Why is my heart still so cold? Why am I not close to Him, very close to Him, and instead I find myself still so far from Him? Because the Blessed Sacrament is truly our Lord Jesus Christ. He really comes into me. He really has all power. Why am I still not a saint? And the only answer I can give is that I must not be giving myself to our Lord to the same degree that Our Lady is giving herself to Him, gave herself to Him when she received Him into herself. There's a big difference between my communion with our Lord and Our Lady's communion with our Lord. What do I mean? I mean that Our Lady, when she received our Lord, she submitted her entire self to Him. When she received her first communion, her mind was thinking about our Lord. When we receive our communions, we're often thinking about other things. When Our Lady received our Lord, she had a very intense desire to be united with Him, with her whole heart. Whereas when we receive our Lord, we are offering, desiring many other things beside our Lord. When Our Lady received our Lord, she was in a state of perfect peace of soul. Her emotions were calm. Her soul, we may say, was completely free to fly off to our Lord. Whereas often when we receive our Lord, our souls are in a state of disorder. Our passions are aroused by sentiments of fear or hatred, anger, greed, lust, or whatever. When Our Lady received our Lord, her soul was at complete peace. It was calm like a tranquil lake. Whereas when we receive our Lord, we are often afraid, angry, bored, sensual, anguish, anxious, whatever. All these different emotions that we may have. And as a result, we do not have that same communion with our Lord when we receive the Blessed Sacrament that Our Lady did. This is why St. Louis recommends that we make our Holy Communion in union with Our Lady. At the end of his book, True Devotion to Mary, he has certain methods of making Holy Communion. And in one of them, he says that before we receive Holy Communion, we should ask Our Lady to lend us her heart. Please give me your heart so that I may receive Holy Communion with the exact same dispositions that you receive Holy Communion. And then when we receive our Lord, to take our Lord and give Him to Our Lady. And ask Our Lady to give to our Lord all of the homage, all of the love, all of the attention that is due to Him, and that I recognize I'm not capable of giving to Him because I am so distracted, because I am so worldly, because I'm so lost in my emotions or my thoughts, whatever they may be. This is why St. Louis so loved a prayer that I suspect he was taught in the seminary. It is a prayer entitled Jesus Living in Mary. It's a prayer where we address our Lord in the womb of Our Lady. We speak to our Lord being in the womb of Our Lady. This prayer was composed by Father Jean-Jacques Ollier, the priest in France in the 1600s who sort of reformed the priesthood. He founded a very famous seminary in Paris, the Seminary of Saint-Sulpice. And that was a seminary which St. Louis de Montfort attended, so that's why I suspect maybe he learned the prayer there. And he loved to contemplate our Lord living in Our Lady. And so in this prayer, we address our Lord living in Our Lady, and basically we ask Him to live in us in the same way that He lives in Our Lady. O Jesus living in Mary, come and live in us, in the spirit of Thy holiness, in the plenitude of Thy gifts, in the perfection of Thy ways, in the truth of Thy virtues, and in communion with Thy mysteries. Reign in me, against all my menacing enemies, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, by the power of Thy Holy Ghost, and for the glory of Thy Father. Amen. So in this prayer, we ask our Lord to live in us in the same way that he lives in Our Lady, on the one hand, by communicating to us all of his gifts, and on the other hand, from eliminating in us all of those worldly influences, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all the things that precisely are obstacles to us having that perfect communion with our Lord. So if we can receive communion thinking about our Lord, desiring our Lord, submitting to our Lord in union with Our Lady, then we will become much holier in our communions. The power is there. It is our Lord. There is the capacity for us becoming much holier through our communions. But these dispositions have to be there for our Lord to work in us as he wishes. And when I was thinking about these things, I could not help but also reflect about Our Lady as she is now and think, well, what about Our Lady now? She's not receiving Holy Communion anymore. Is Our Lady in a worse state than we are now because of the fact that we can receive communion and she can't receive communion? And I think this reflection helps me understand something else about the Blessed Sacrament besides the two lessons that we've already learned from Our Lady. Because of course Our Lady is not worse off now in heaven than she was here on earth when she was receiving Holy Communion at the hands of St. John, when she was in Ephesus and St. John the Evangelist was entrusted to her at the foot of the cross, and so he lived with her, said Mass, gave her Holy Communion, and so on. So Our Lady right now has an even more perfect communion with her Son than she had when she was on this earth, because she possesses the beatific vision. And what this brings home to me, the fact that God is now the form of her intellect, and she possesses God in an even higher way than she possessed him when she received our Lord in her womb on the day of the Annunciation. What this brings home to me is that the Blessed Sacrament that we receive in this life is precisely meant to be a preparation for us to receive God in heaven. Our Lord comes down on this earth. He wants to give himself to us so that we can be ready to receive him forever in heaven in the beatific vision. This is why in the Ecce Panis Angelorum of St. Thomas Aquinas, it speaks of the bread of angels becoming the bread of men. What's the bread of angels? Are angels eating bread in heaven? No, of course they're not eating bread in heaven. The bread of angels is God. The bread of angels is the beatific vision, their possession of God. And it becomes the bread of men, the bread of wayfarers, by God taking flesh and coming inside of us. So when we receive the Blessed Sacrament, it's like the bread of angels, because the same God that is in heaven and that is possessed by the angels in the beatific vision is now possessed by us when we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. This is why Archbishop Lefebvre says that when we receive Holy Communion, in a sense, we receive heaven itself. God is heaven, he says. Jesus Christ is God. So when we receive God in our hearts, we can say in all truth, I have heaven in my soul. I have paradise in my soul. We should be united to that paradise in such a way that we prepare the paradise of forever. Our Lord invents this Blessed Sacrament so that he can come to you on this earth in a way that is similar to the way you will receive God for all eternity in heaven. And if you want heaven, if you want to possess God forever in perfect happiness, then you have to make good communions, just like the communions of Our Lady. And if you do that, you will certainly be ready to possess God forever because you possessed him so well on this earth. So, my dear faithful, Our Lady teaches us so much about the Blessed Sacrament. First of all, she shows us that the Blessed Sacrament exists because our Lord wants to come to us, but that we have to want to do his will if we are to enter into a communion with him. Secondly, she shows us the most perfect way to receive our Lord is to think about him and love him with our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole heart, our whole strength at the time of communion. And thirdly, she shows us that the reason why he's coming to us is to get us ready for heaven, that he dwells with us on this earth as an anticipation of him dwelling with us forever in heaven. And so let us ask Our Lady today for this great grace, that she may accompany us in all of our communions, that she may make them fruitful, and that Jesus may live in us in the same way that he lived and is living in his own mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.